Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Thursday, September the 1st. And welcome to our commentary, September the 1st. Remember that. The year has really flown by. I know I say it a lot, but it certainly feels like it's just flying by. Well, today we're going to talk. Yesterday we were talking about Gorbachev, the passing of Gorbachev. And I've got a couple of other things I want to say today about Mikhail Gorbachev or the passing of Gorbachev or his legacy. The first one, I mentioned yesterday that I wasn't sure if Gorbachev was going to have a state funeral. He is. He will have a state funeral because he was a former leader of the Soviet Union. In fact, he was the last one, as I've indicated before, the very last leader of the old Soviet Union. But here's the interesting part. Putin will not be attending the funeral. Putin has decided not to attend Gorbachev's funeral. Now, some people will probably speculate that that's because Putin doesn't want to be seen in public. Maybe he's afraid of going out in public because, let's just be honest about it, the war in Ukraine is not exactly very popular with the people of Russia. They're the ones who are dying, or certainly the soldiers, who are dying in record numbers. And, you know, a lot of people are not happy with Putin. But I think there's probably another reason, and that is that it confirms that the new Russia has more in common with the old Soviet Union than with the Russia that I think we thought would happen and with the collapse of the Soviet Union. You know, I think Yeltsin, when he took over, he probably wanted to move Russia in a different direction, and Putin is trying to move Russia back to the way it was under the old Soviet Union. And that's why I think that Gorbachev, who was in many ways, as I say, the last of the Soviet leaders, that's why he and Putin probably do not get along as well. We also understand that Gorbachev had been critical of Putin's decision to go into Ukraine. So maybe that has something to do with it. So Putin will not be attending Gorbachev's funeral. When that will happen, I don't know, maybe in the next couple of days. I don't know if we're going to be sending somebody to that funeral representing the United States. I don't know about that either. That's another interesting question. Something else about Gorbachev, too, that I wanted to mention. Some of the coverage of Gorbachev has been interesting. Some are trying to give Gorbachev too much credit for the collapse of the Soviet Union. Well, look, he was the last leader of the Soviet Union, and there's no question that when he took over in 1985, he knew that the Soviet Union was going to collapse. I mean, actually, the CIA was saying that privately in the early 1980s. The CIA was going to President Reagan and was telling President Reagan that place is falling apart, not just because of the economic problems, but the war in Afghanistan was also taking a very serious toll on the Soviet Union. So Gorbachev knew that he was not going to be, or that the Soviet Union was not going to be around for a while. He tried to reform it, but he couldn't. But the real reason that the Soviet Union collapsed, and I don't think that this is being discussed a great deal in the news coverage, the real reason that it collapsed is because of the policies of every American president from Harry Truman to President Bush, the first President Bush. And during that time, the American presidents were tough on the Soviet Union, and the American presidents presented a united front against the Soviet Union. Now, President Reagan was the one who pushed the accelerator on the military buildup, and I think that eventually did the Soviet Union in, because they just couldn't keep up. They couldn't keep up with the United States. They just didn't have the ability militarily and economically to keep up with the United States. And I think by the time Gorbachev came in, he knew that the whole thing would be falling apart eventually. How quickly, he probably didn't know that. But in reality, it fell apart 5 or 6 years after he became the prime minister. But a lot of credit has to go to President Reagan and to the first President Bush, for he was the one who sort of you know, flew the air. I mean, he was the one in charge, I should say, when the Soviet Union collapsed, and he did a great job, I think, in that particular thing. So there's going to be a funeral for Putin, but we don't know. We don't know when, but I mean, a funeral for Gorbachev, I misspoke, a funeral for Gorbachev, and Putin will not be attending. Now there's a big problem going on in Europe right now, and that is that they're running out of energy. And interestingly enough, the same thing is happening in California. Now they're not completely the same, but they do have some things in common. What's happening in Europe is that they became too dependent on the Soviet Union, or Russia, I should say, for fuel. And obviously Putin is manipulating that at the moment. But the other thing that happened in Europe is that they did not take fossil fuels seriously. They thought they could handle everything with alternative energies. And I'm not against alternative energies, but we were simply not ready to move from fossil fuels to alternative energy as soon or as quickly as many of the people in Europe thought. And now they find themselves in a situation where the lights will be going out. They just don't have enough energy to heat their homes or to run their economies. Exactly what's going to happen, I don't know. But it's a real fault. It's very bad planning, very bad energy planning that went on in Europe. And I think it's a big lesson for us, and that's where California comes in. Now, in California, they're going to be cutting back on energy use, and they're telling people not to charge their electric cars or to cut back on their energy use. And really, when you think about it, whether it's California or Europe, what you're seeing here is a great failure of government. There is no reason on earth for any government, whether it's California or Europe, to have a shortage of energy. There's no reason. We have more than enough fossil fuels to take care of the problem. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't look at alternatives. I've always been a big believer in nuclear power, for example. I think we should be building a lot more nuclear plants. It's a good, clean way of heating our homes and running our cities and running our businesses. But when you go from A to B, when you go from fossil fuels to whatever the next thing is going to be, you have to do it in a rational transition. You have to do it in a way that makes sense. And I think too many governments in Europe, and unfortunately in California, they didn't think this through. And in California, they don't have enough power. That's the problem there. They don't have enough ability to produce power. Now they want to go to electric cars. Okay, that's great. They're going to go to electric cars, but how do you think they run those cars? And the charging stations, where does the energy come from? It's going to have to come from a power plant, whether it's a nuclear power plant or a fossil fuel driven power plant, but it's not going to come from windmills. That's not going to be how you run all of those power stations. So, you know, it's just very bad planning. It's just very bad planning. And once again, what happens when you become irrational in how you deal with energy? I'm not against alternative energy. Don't send me an email saying that I'm a climate denier. I'm not doing any of that. I'm simply being rational in how we go from point A to point B. And we are not ready to go completely to point B. We're not ready for that. We may be ready in 20 years, in 25 years, we may be. But for the time being, there's only one reliable source of energy, and that's fossil fuels and nuclear plants. If we started building some of those, we could in maybe 5 to 10 years run many of our cities with nuclear plants. Again, I like that idea. But right now, the only thing that is going to keep us going is fossil fuels. That's the most reliable one that we have right now. And many governments, whether it's California or Europe, they just make some bad decisions, and their people are going to pay for it. I understand that in the United Kingdom, in England, that the cost of energy is going to go through the roof. It's already going through the roof. And we'll see an increase in the United States as well. Not as much, perhaps, but we will see it as well. It'll be part of the inflation, I think, coming up later this year. But bad planning, that's all you can say, bad planning is all you can say about energy. And I hope that people are waking up to the fact that you can't just go to green energy overnight. It takes time, and it takes a lot of time. And you just can't tell people to buy electric cars. It takes time to get there, and we have to do it gradually. And if we don't do it gradually, then we're gonna have the problems that they have in Europe or the problems that they're going to have in California. Now, they're not going to be the same in the sense that, California is probably going to be temporary. But in the case of Europe, it's going to be probably the entire winter. And it's probably going to get very nasty there this winter in Europe. Well, a couple of things from on this day in history that I wanted to mention. Back in 1864, this week back in 1864, so we're talking about the American Civil War, the eventual fall of Atlanta, the eventual fall, you know, General Sherman, when he went into Georgia, he eventually burned Atlanta and eventually drove everybody to, I guess, to the edge of destruction of the South. It began this week in 1864, and it went on for a few more months. But I'm sure all of you remember the movie Gone with the Wind, and remember the scenes, you know, where they're leaving Atlanta burning. That's kind of what happened there. Now, it didn't happen this week. It happened, I think, later in November, I think, of 1864. But I tell you, this is, it's a great movie, by the way, Gone with the Wind. That's one of the great scenes when they're leaving Atlanta and you see all those buildings burning in the background. But it all began this week in 1864, what eventually destroyed or defeated the South in that Civil War. General Sherman, that was the name of the man who oversaw that operation. On a happy note, we want to say happy number 76 to Barry Gibb of the Bee Gees. Now, I like the Bee Gees a lot. They were a great group. And Barry Gibb, a lot of people don't realize what an amazing composer he was and how many songs that he, whether with his brothers or some of the songs that he wrote by himself, how many of those songs ended up on the radio. In fact, I read that Barry Gibb is number two to Paul McCartney on the number of songs written that ended up on the radio or ended up on the music charts. So we say happy number 76 to Barry Gibb. Something also very interesting about Barry Gibb, on this day in 1970, he married his wife Linda. So today they celebrate 52 years of marriage. So that's also something a joyful moment, I should say, to end our commentary with today. So happy birthday, Barry Gibb. Happy anniversary, Barry and Linda Gibb. 52 years, that's a long time. Maybe I'll make it to that one day. 52, wow. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thanks for your comments, Sally. Thank you for your comments. Always welcome. And thank you for everybody else for listening. Have a wonderful day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.